Ireland, I told you. I told you.
And
by the way,
believe
just
it.
The lamest performance I have ever seen, the greatest choke job I have ever seen. Not only do they lose, but they get their doors blown off by Denver after giving up big leads in games 5 and 6. It was the ultimate choke job for the Clippers last night, and a little part of me feels sorry for them. No, it actually doesn't. A little part of me doesn't feel sorry for them at all.
Mace, my first year as a sportscaster in Los Angeles was 1995.
Oh, back in 95.
I have never, ever seen a tank job like this.
Yes.
I don't know what happened to them. I don't know. This is for a professional sports. And I know, okay, that's 50 years.
50 years
of failing to reach the conference finals. The next closest team in any other sport is 30. So maybe the Clipper curse is real.
The Clipper curse is real, John. But I saw it coming a mile away. It was the Clipperiest Clipper thing ever done.
But these were paid athletes.
Yeah.
Some paid millions of dollars completely mailing it in.
Some superstars. I mean, some allegedly the greatest players in the game, like Kawhi Leonard and Jorge. Do you have that little drop, Playoff P?
Yeah, I haven't met Playoff P yet.
No, we have not met Playoff P, and I'm not sure when we're going to meet him. It's not going to be this year.
At one point, Playoff P, with the game on the line,
hit
the
backboard.
Side of the backboard.
It's unbelievable.
And
it was
stunning. I was sitting there watching it going, okay, Kawhi's going to take over at some point. Mace, everything this team was built around was that they had three. You're seeing all these clips come out today of all these media so-called experts. These guys like Chris Broussard and Rick Bucher and Max and Colin and even like Jackie McMullen and Windhorse all saying no one's going to be able to score on this Clipper team. They have three of
the most
elite defenders of all time in Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley, and Jamal Murray, who's 6 feet tall, dropped 40 on these dudes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
None
and they
of the
could,
three could lock them up.
And has there? I've never seen a team go that cold shooting all at once. They were throwing up brick after brick after brick.
And there's no other conclusion you can come to that they felt the pressure and choked.
Or was it something else, John? Here's what I was thinking. So you've mentioned many times that some god-awful number of ESPN experts picked the Clippers to win it all.
Right, 9 out of 16.
And I think the Clippers had a sense of entitlement because of that. Remember how everybody was getting to the bubble late? Patrick Beverley got there late. Montrezl Harrell got there late. Guys were getting to the bubble late because I think there was a level of unseriousness from the Clippers in this thing. There was a sense of entitlement.
You can take it a step further. How many times in the show this year did I say to you, this is going to be the ultimate test of the flip the switch theory, of the load management theory, that the regular season doesn't mean anything, that the seeding games doesn't mean anything. Lemon Pepper Lou can go to a club and show up whenever he wants, and Patrick Beverley was late, and Montrezl Harrell, I know, had a death in the family, but that didn't help. Yep. He was late. And there was, as Michael would say, Mace, there wasn't enough of that E word.
Yeah.
Urgency.
Urgency. And by the way, last night after the game, I loved, because apparently, you know, at the beginning of the season, Paul George said it is championship or bust. Now, last night, he had a very different reaction after the game.
Fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally, we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. You know, we can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tell of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
Oh, well, here's the problem with that. Playoff P.
Playoff P.
You and Kawhi only signed 2-year deals.
Yep.
So you've put the Clippers management in an impossible position.
Yep.
They have to decide, do we just come back with this group or do we blow it all up? Kendrick Perkins on the Jump today said he has an inside source that they're blowing it all up.
Wow.
That Doc could be fired. They may have gotten their coach fired last night.
Kendrick
Perkins. They may have cost Mace. Think about this. Sam Cassell and Ty Lue are candidates for open coaching vacancies.
Yeah.
The egg that those guys laid, heavy favorites with the season on the line, may have just gotten Mike D'Antoni and Billy Donovan the jobs that Ty Lue and Sam Cassell were in line to get.
Could have been. Do you really? I don't think Doc's going to be fired. Do you think he's going to be fired?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I'd bring the same group back. I'd bring the same group back with a level of seriousness, without so much load management. They've got some issues. I think they've got some free agent issues, don't they?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No, Montrezl Harrell. But, you know, it seems to – I think Lue might be up. But, I mean, you can – in the modern NBA, you can move anybody. I mean, we saw what Russell Westbrook with an untradeable contract get traded.
Yeah.
But if you do that, I don't think they realize the repercussions of the I don't give a crap effort they gave last night.
No.
They're going to get a lot of people fired. They're going to cost a lot of other people career opportunities, and they just mailed it in. I mean, yeah. Mace, they didn't lose like at the buzzer and you could say good job, good effort. They got absolutely embarrassed, and the thing that they were supposed to be the best at,
defense.
Locking people up. They couldn't do. No, right. Nobody could stop Jokic. Nobody could stop Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and by the way, what took so long for the Clippers to put Kawhi on Jokic? Kawhi should have been on Jokic in that game.
We couldn't. He was part of the time. He couldn't stop him.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of – why didn't they get Lue out of the game when Lue was clearly getting picked on by everybody? Defensively, he was getting shredded. You know, there were adjustments to be made there that just weren't made.
It was absolutely stunning. I mean, yeah. I was sitting there with my mouth open. Like, are they really going to go out
Were
like
you really
this?
Sitting there with your mouth open?
I was. Lisa said, close your mouth. Yeah. They went out like that.
Yeah.
They're now 0-8. In games with a chance to get to the conference finals.
I know. It's such a shame.
0-8.
They're so close. They're so close.
And, you know, the problem with do you keep Doc is now Doc's the first coach. He was the first coach to ever blow 2 3-1 leads. Now he's blown 3.
Yeah.
So these players have given Steve Ballmer, you know, remember, Doc used to be the GM and they pushed him out.
Oh, sure.
And they brought in their own basketball people to run this thing, and they were praised around the league as having the prototypical modern front office with a bunch of geniuses. And now these guys are going to be on the spot to make a decision of whether or not to bring Doc back.
Hang on, I'm getting a request for a song right now on the request line. Jorge, do you have that?
I cannot believe this came to fruition.
Wherever you are.
You were playing this yesterday.
Yesterday, in advance.
You called your shot.
I could feel it coming, man. I could feel it coming. I knew the Clippers would not let me down. All right, so coming up next, interesting, Max Kellerman, who you just heard on the station. Of course, the Max Kellerman Show here on 710 ESPN every day from 11 to 1.
Max is a very good sport for coming on and facing the music here because he was picking the Clippers to win it all, and he called Kawhi the best two-way player in the game.
Yep, and we will talk to Max about exactly that coming up next for you on a great day for the Lakers. The Clippers have exited stage left, and now we get Denver starting Friday in the Western Conference Finals. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hit the road, Jack! The Clippers have exited the playoffs in an embarrassing fashion last night. They lose Game 7 in a blowout to the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, our friend Max Kellerman, who, by the way, does one of the finest radio shows in America. You can hear it every day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on 710 ESPN. Had some misguided views on the Clippers this year, and he's here to really own that. Max, it's great to see you. How are you?
Doing great, as always. You know, listen, if it's ESPN radio and you're in L.A., if you keep listening, at some point you're going to hear Mason in Ireland. Like, for the,
it's true.
For the last how many decades now?
They just move our time slot around, Max.
Yeah.
We've been on every conceivable part of the day. And I thought you were a very good sport this morning. You are in the opinion business. You've been giving opinions about Kawhi and the Clippers for a couple of years now that all kind of came crashing down. And that's where I want to start with you. How much does this affect, Max, the legacy of guys like Kawhi and Paul George? Because we're playing in a pandemic, they're in a bubble, it's not home court. For example, you've always said that Kawhi, for the past year or so, is the best two-way player in the league. Is he even in the conversation anymore, or did he throw it all out the window in this series?
Well, that's a great question. And the answer is, he's not unless. Let me start with what he is, though. Kawhi is more reliant on the playoffs to prove that he's the best than anyone else.
Right.
And for about the last year or so, once I saw him stop Giannis, I thought, okay, you can't play D. And I know he was funneling him into these bigs too, Gasol and Ibaka. But you can't play defense better on Giannis than Kawhi did. And one series after another, he was having historically great series, including in the finals. I don't care that KD didn't play because KD plays on a 73-win team. No one's going to beat them, right? So who cares? If he wouldn't have beat him if KD was healthy. He had one of the all-time great postseasons. Not just finals, postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more reliant on that because during the regular season, he's like, if LeBron and these guys, like a KD at his best, is a five-star player, Kawhi's like a 4.75. He's a little quarter step below them in the regular season. But when it matters most, he turned it on. So he's more reliant on that than those other guys. And when you, in a game seven, in the fourth quarter, as the best player on the team, with Doc Rivers, a championship coach, and plenty good enough supporting cast, even if you lose, you at least have to be the best player on the floor. Right? LeBron's been the best player on the floor in every series he's ever played in, especially if it got down to the wire, with the exception of the Dallas series they lost to Dirk and the Mavs, right? And he was still kind of figuring it out. Since then, even if they lose, he's the best player in the series. And Kawhi was not. He wasn't the best. Jokic was better. Jamal Murray was better. His team didn't score a field goal until more than halfway through the fourth quarter in that entire period. Like, so this is devastating for Kawhi. You guys want to hear the unless part, or have I already talked too much of a soliloquy?
No, we've got plenty of time for unless. We're not going to cut you off like Stephen A. does.
That's your problem. So, but unless, and here's the unless, they do the same thing to LeBron and the Lakers. I don't think they will. I think the Lakers match up better, and I think because they have LeBron, you know, they'll get it done. But this cardiac kid team, the Nuggets, we're down 3-1 to the Jazz. You know, Donovan Mitchell putting on an all-time performance. It didn't faze them. They win. And they're down 3-1 to the Clippers. And it's just like double-digit deficits at halftime constantly. 17 points down, 16 points down, 10 points. And they came back and won every single time.
Yep.
Because they have two MVP cat, like in the playoffs, like Kawhi was last year, whatever they were in the regular season. Jokic and Jamal Murray are both playing at MVP
yep.
level right now.
Okay, that's the end of soliloquy. Let us jump in here,
yeah.
Max, okay?
Yeah.
So,
soliloquy over.
So, Max, here's what I want to know. What's it like to get beat up on First Take? Like, they went after you today. I felt very, very sorry for you. I wouldn't know. It must be an unenviable position to have Stephen A. yelling at you, isn't it?
I am clearly being punished for something in another life. Like, if you watch TV and you watch Stephen A. Smith and you're like, hey, who's the jerk who has to get yelled at by him for a living? Right? Like,
yep.
That's me. It's Dante's Inferno. I'm being punished for something. Guys, this is the subtitle of First Take is these two jerks deserve each other.
Yeah.
Right, yes, right.
It was always my destiny to be on that show.
Okay, so let me follow up with one thing, Max, because I don't think you're getting enough credit here. Max, when he was in Los Angeles, Max, you'll remember this, you were a jinx, right? You jinxed jinxed all of our favorite teams. And so what do? You go on your big national TV and your big national radio show, and you pick the Clippers, and now they're gone, and the Lakers have a clean shot for the championship. You did this for the Lakers, didn't you?
That's right.
That's right.
It worked. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. Here, look, okay, here I just did this on my own radio show like an hour ago.
Here's
the truth. I'll give everyone a peek behind the curtain, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You have your own rooting interests, right? I am genuinely a Lakers fan. Like, I actually gave up the Knicks to root for the Lakers, and I'm happy I did, right? Even though I've been a dick. But when you make a public proclamation, like when you just make a prediction, you want to be smart and right. And it starts to interfere with your actual rooting interest. Like, you really can't control what you root for. It just sort of happens.
Yep.
So I was in a very bad spot wanting to be right, but also, of course, I want the Lakers to win. So, what can I tell you? In the end, like, hey, aren't you glad the Lakers are still playing and the Clippers aren't? If the Clippers were going to lose anyway, I would have rather them do it to the Lakers. I'm disappointed. Like, in typical Clipper fashion, They have yet to hang a second round championship banner next to the 16 the Lakers have, and they've deprived us all of the matchup we wanted. That's the real matchup we wanted.
Max Kellerman is with us, and Max, the Clippers are now 0-8 in games where they had a chance to go to the conference finals. They have not been to a conference finals in 50 years. So this whole cloud is hanging over their head. If you were running the Clippers, do you just bring this group back? Do you bring Doc back and just run it again? Or do you just say, this thing stinks to high heaven, we got to do something?
I don't think I would do a major overhaul. Paul George, you can't rely on in the playoffs, so you have to know that going in. They need a playmaking ball handler who can get them into something more than sort of like a half-court offense, right? They don't really have that guy. It's not Patrick Beverley. He's a nice 3-and-D point guard. Kawhi is a much better passer than he used to be, but he's not a brilliant playmaker. It's not Paul George. They really don't have that guy. Maybe if they added him. But the Clippers jinx is amazing. Guys,
I know.
When I got to L.A., the league shot down the Paul George to the Lakers trade. The Clippers had Paul George, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. This was going to be the thing. They didn't win a single second-round series the whole time.
Yep.
And now they get Kawhi and Paul George and all these guys with Doc Rivers. They can't get through this
stunning.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, listen, Max, we're glad you're wrong. We're glad you were wrong about the Clippers. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. By the way, I shouldn't pick the Lakers for the next series.
No, you should pick the Nuggets to win. Pick the Nuggets to win.
That Jamal Murray is unbelievable, Max.
Oh, God, I really do think that I don't even want to say it out loud. I don't want to say what I really think out loud because it'll jinx it.
Yeah, don't say hold
You've
it
already,
to yourself.
Max,
who was the guy from Goodfellas? No, Bronx Tale. Mace, you'll know.
Right. Chaz Palminteri?
Yeah.
When it comes to basketball, I'm the mush because I got too much good luck in baseball with the Yankees.
There you go.
Basketball, I'm the mush.
Yep. All right. Hey, Max, thanks a lot for coming out. Enjoying your show every day, 11 to 1 here on 710 ESPN. Great talking to you, man.
Thanks, guys, as always.
See you, Max. All right, coming up next, the victorious Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams. You called that, too. You're having a week. This is the week of the Mace.
Week of the Mace,
You won your first game of games. You called the Rams victory. You called the Clipper loss. You're on a roll, man.
I am on a – get out of my way, because here I come. Coach Sean McVay will be with us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a loser, baby.
Oh, that's just cold.
So why don't you kill me? Oh, Lindsay, good call. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Any moment we're going to hear from Rams head coach Sean McVay. I wanted to mention
something. You know who looks like a prophet?
Who?
Kerry Champion.
What did Kerry say?
Before the game last night, she said, "I don't know what all you people are talking about. Clipper's going to clip."
Clifford's going to clip.
They did.
Yep, they did.
It really is the most clippery thing ever.
By far. By far.
I mean, you couldn't have set it up like better for them to just
blow a 3-1 series lead, show up barely in the seventh game of the series, go out the way they did, even though they have playoff P. No, you couldn't have planned it any better. While we're waiting for Coach McKay, I wanted to tell you something. I was on a podcast yesterday called the Paranoia Podcast with Rob Cuddy. And it's all about, he's a global security expert. And after listening to him, I have finally put that piece of tape over the camera on my computer.
Well, I've had that on for 2 years.
And I am a complete believer now that they, the collective they, are listening to everything we say, and you guys are right. That's why we see the ads that we do.
Lindsay has been arguing that since the day she got here. Did you think she was making it up?
Well, no, but she's not a global security expert. So once a global security expert says it's totally different deal.
I listen to global security experts and the Joe Rogan podcast, of course.
Of course.
Mace, just pay attention to the ads you get. And here's the surreal thing. I've been getting ads for stuff that I haven't even said out loud.
Really?
I don't know how they're doing that.
Oh, come on. They're not reading your thoughts, John.
No. Like, Lisa and I will be in the car,
right?
Okay? And we'll say, we should go to Ojai at some point.
Yeah.
And I'll get home.
And there'll be an ad from the
Ojai
Valley.
Open my computer and the ad for an Ojai Valley Inn will pop up.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It's completely weird. I mean, somehow they're listening on the phone. They're listening on the computer. They are measuring our signals. They know where we are at all times. It's frightening. And there's no putting the horse back in the barn, right?
Well, the reason you should put a piece of tape over your camera on your and why I've had one on there since I've owned this laptop is a very common thing, apparently, is they will activate your camera without you knowing, like no lights will come on, and then they'll blackmail you if you do anything stupid.
Really?
Like, particularly, like let's say you got your computer open and you're a public figure and you're cheating
doing whatever really inappropriate.
Yeah, or cheating on your spouse or something.
Right.
They'll say, "Oh, we will release this tape unless you give us $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. That's brutal.
Well, that's real brutal. World thing.
Yeah, who is the they?
It's the Illuminati.
I'm pretty sure it's Facebook and Google. I think Facebook and Google are probably the they. Don't you?
Well, did you ever see the movie The Kingsman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in The Kingsman, Samuel L. Jackson plays this, like, global cell phone lord.
Yes.
And he's got control. He figures out a way to give everybody free cell phones. And then he uses them for mind control.
Yes.
And takes over the world. Maybe that's it. Maybe my phone heard me talking about the Ojai Valley Inn, and it told my computer.
Well, I think that's completely it. You told your phone. You said, "Let's go to Ojai." That way, when you got home, your computer was ready to show you that ad. It's honestly creepy.
But here, Mace, here's the weird thing about that. That would make sense with you because you have an Apple laptop and an Apple phone.
Correct.
But I'm on two different operating systems. I have a PC and an Apple phone.
Huh.
They don't talk to each other.
They don't talk to each other, but somehow they
somehow
might know
that
your...
That got into my universe.
They might know your IP address, which is another possibility. Yeah, it's
but
crazy.
I was in the car when I talked about Ojai. I wasn't in the house.
That is weird. Yeah, I mean, that's the world we live in. Actually, all the celebrities are boycotting Instagram today.
Yeah, for one day. What is that, dude? That's like you saying you're going to quit sugar for a week. Big deal.
I've been pretty good. I've been pretty good.
Yeah, but you haven't stayed true to it. You've had an occasional breakdown. If Kim Kardashian really wanted to stick it to Facebook or to Instagram, she'd quit.
She'd quit it, exactly.
That's what I was thinking. What is one day going to do? That does nothing.
Exactly. You know, if you really want to, if like Kim and Kylie and all those Kardashians, they move stock numbers if they put something
on Instagram. Let's face it, those people cannot live without Instagram.
That's, you just hit the nail on the head.
They can't live without it. They need to be, and you know, I'm not a scroller. Do you know what a scroller is?
No.
So a scroller is when you're on Facebook, you go to your page and you just scroll through all the different messages that are coming up. You're not on your own page. You're just looking at your wall, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with Instagram. You're just scrolling. You're scrolling through pictures, scrolling through pictures.
Oh,
and all they want is to keep you there longer. They're trying to keep you there longer. That's why I'm not a scroller. I don't read my wall. I don't read my Instagram comment. I don't read any of that stuff. I don't want to spend any more time on my phone and social media than I absolutely have to.
All right, so we're waiting on Sean McVay, but let me, I went as the resident Ram fan at this station.
Yes.
The leader of the Ramily. What do you do with the new Ram kicker? It's Sam Sloman, right?
Samuel Sloman.
Okay. He.
He doinked one.
Missed one, a chippy.
Yep.
From 29 yards out. His second one did not look good. It was a low liner, but it went through the uprights. And his third one looked good, and he made his extra points. So do you feel like, okay, it's a kid, he's nervous, first time? Or if you're Les Snead, are you scouring the wires to get a backup kicker in here?
Well, remember, they cut two veteran guys. I think guys that kicked in the XFL.
Yeah, I'm rooting for this kid, Sloman. Well, we got Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, is joining us. Sean, let's start there. You know, at once upon a time, you had a first game. I'm sure you were nervous. Sloman had a first game. He missed a chippy, and then he kind of got it together. Do you, after the game, say to him, hey, man, we need you to tune it up, or do you pat him on the back, or how do you treat a kicker's first game like that?
Yeah, I think you're proud of the way he responded. You know, you show me a good kicker, he's missed some kicks. You know, guys have missed some kicks. You know, it's about your ability to respond, and that was the most important thing. We came right back to him, and he knocked everyone true from that point on. Did a decent job on kickoff. So, you know, when you think about the pressure of that position and just the parameters around this year, we're certainly not going to over-evaluate one kick that made a hell of a clang on the field goal post with no fans.
It did doink.
My goodness. But no, I think more than anything, I was just pleased with the way that he responded. He didn't flinch. He didn't blink. And he came back and he ended up making kicks that ended up being the difference in winning and losing the game.
So let's talk about the running back position. You started with Cam Akers, and you said it's going to be kind of a stable of backs. Started with Cam Akers, then went to Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown had just a monstrous game. Does that mean Brown is moving towards a starter position, or are you going to continue to sort of shuffle through guys the way you were?
Yeah, I think that they're all three guys that are important. You know, I thought, like I've kind of said all along, you know, the flow of the game will dictate, you know, how it goes. And we knew that Malcolm was a guy that had played a lot of football. He was going to be an instrumental part of the game. But if you said, you know, I knew exactly how many carries and how many snaps he'd end up with, you know, that wouldn't have been true. So I think there is an element of having a feel for the flow of the game, which Coach Brown, our running backs coach, does. And I'd like to think that is part of my job as well. And we've got three guys that we feel like can all be big-time contributors for us. And that's going to be our approach moving forward.
Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, is with us. Sean, Aaron Donald gets a lot of recognition, and I know he's very highly paid for being an elite defensive lineman. But, man, they had because it was Sunday Night Football, they had a camera on him the whole game, and so there are all these clips that fans are now getting to see, stuff that you've been watching for the whole time you've been here. Is there a chance this guy is underrated? I mean, it seems like he is blowing up 2-3 blockers on some of these plays. I didn't know. I knew he was good. I didn't know he could throw guys around like he's doing.
Yeah, he's I've never been around anything like it. He's special. He's a special person, special player. The more you watch him, the more you appreciate him. And I think he's getting better. I think his best is yet to come, and that's a credit to his work ethic, think he and Coach Henderson do an excellent job working together, and I think he's set up to have a great year and build on what's already a phenomenal career that he's established.
Rams head coach Sean McVay is with us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. So near the end of the game, Michael Gallup down the left sideline. Jalen Ramsey in pursuit. At some point, there was an offensive pass interference, I think because Gallup extended his arm. What did you think of that call?
Yeah, in live, I thought it was a good call. I'm obviously not going to complain about the call. It was it was good. I think the guys have done a good job. You know, just even when you look around the league of letting people play, and then there's always going to, you know, and I don't think our refs will ever claim to be perfect. There was a couple things even in that game that I think we would have liked to have gone differently, but ultimately I did think that was the right call after seeing it.
Sean McVay is with us. Coach, explain for us best you can. There's a very short list of people who are allowed to be in the stadium. It's basically players, coaches, required staff, and very few other people. On TV, the stadium looks spectacular, but that had to be a little surreal for you to play a game in the NFL that counts. Could you hear what the Cowboy coaches were yelling, or what was that like to go through a game with zero fans in the building?
It was weird. I mean, it was really strange. I mean, you know, the energy came from your sidelines, and, you know, when we made a play, guys are excited, or if they made a play, you know, but, you know, you're just so used to that background noise that makes such a great entertaining thing with the fans and the excitement of the atmosphere and the environment, but it still was football. I think once you get going, you're kind of locked in on it. But to say that you're not cognizant of, you know, the lack of noise and just the great energy that the fans bring to the game, that wouldn't be accurate. But I did think our guys did a great job of bringing it. You know, you're hearing guys like Johnny Hecker, Michael Brockers, the Whitworths. I thought we had a lot of great leadership that was epitomized by our energy throughout. And there were some ebbs and flows in that game, and I thought our guys just stayed the course, and that was what I was as proud of as anything.
Let's talk about rookie safety Jordan Fuller, who made an unbelievable, potentially game-saving tackle on CeeDee Lamb. Held him to, I think, 2 yards. 3 would have been a first down at the Rams 8. Talk about Jordan Fuller. Where did he come from? How has he gotten to this position? He was a late-round draft pick. Tell me about Jordan Fuller.
Yeah, he's got great instincts, great range. He's a great kid, extremely smart, and really he just kind of showed up. You know, we really liked him. I think obviously we, you know, looking back on it now, had we known he was this good, we probably would have taken him a lot sooner than the 6th. So he's going to be a really good player, we feel like, for a long time. But he's just got such a nice, mature way about himself. You know, I got to be good friends with Jeff Hathley, who is his defensive coordinator at Ohio State, who now is the head coach at Boston College. He couldn't say enough about him. You know, when you talk to the people that have been around him, you know, you can't find anybody that thinks anything other than what a special human and special player he is, and mature beyond his years. And I think the best is yet to come for Jordan.
Sean, you're going to Philadelphia this weekend to take on the Eagles. They're not going to be happy. They had a big lead. It slipped away. You know that the coaches of the Eagles are going to have the attention of these Philly players. What do you expect on Sunday?
Yeah, I expect a great football team. You know, whether they won or lost, Coach Peterson does an excellent job of having his guys ready to go week in and week out. There's one thing when you look at Philly, they are a resilient bunch. You look at how they were able to turn it around last year and find a way to win their division. It wasn't so long ago they were, you know, holding up the Lombardi Trophy. So this is a great football team that we have tremendous respect for. We know what it's going to take to be able to come out of there with the W, and we got to have a great week of preparation and play well on all three phases, and we got to be better than we were last week.
Last thing for me, the consensus on Jared Goff's season last year, the 2019 season, was that he took a step back. He looked really, really good in this game Sunday against the Cowboys. You played at a really fast tempo. Talk about what you're doing with Jared right now and sort of getting him back on track.
Yeah, I think he's doing it. You know, he played really well. He made the plays. He did a great job commanding the offense, leading, being able to change up the tempos. And then I also think, you know, Kevin O'Connell and Liam Cohen have done a great job coaching him. Very receptive. You know, bringing Kevin in here as our OC, I've been so impressed with his communication skills, his mastery of the position and just big picture view of the game. And, you know, I think those two being in unison is going to be reflective of a really good year for Jared. And I thought he took a great step in the right direction with his performance last week.
All right, Coach, last thing for you. When you see your owner, Stan Kroenke, you can tell him congratulations. You know, his other team, the Nuggets, had a mammoth victory last night to make it into the conference finals. So he's your boss, so you can tell him congratulations, but you can't root against the Lakers. It's a one-time congratulations for Mr. Kroenke. You got it?
Oh, yeah. No, I was, you know, that's an exciting deal. That was a big big series win for those guys, especially to come down two series in a row from being down 3-1. They're a pretty resilient bunch.
Well, good luck this weekend in
Thanks,
Philly.
Coach.
I know you're going back east 2 weeks in a row, so we'll be watching and we'll be pulling for you. Keep it up, Coach.
Let's go. Sounds
cool. Let's go. Talk to you next week, man. All right, there is Coach Sean McVay. All right, coming up next for you, John. The Big Ten is coming back.
Yeah, and what is the Pac-12 waiting for?
That is the big question. We'll get into it next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, no. It's what the Clippers are singing today. Hey, Playoff P. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. The Clippers have left the playoffs ignominiously. I think that's a word. Does it sound like
sure.
a word?
Yeah.
Ignominiously? I'm going to go with it. It was Game 7 last night, and the Denver Nuggets blew the doors off the Clippers. That means Western Conference Finals game number one will be Friday. We'll have that game for you right here on 710 ESPN. Also, Eastern Conference Finals Series. Last night was game one. It was a thriller overtime win for Miami and an unbelievable, crazy block shot by Bam Adebayo where he – with his left hand, went up, got a hold of the ball. This was Jason Tatum going to the rack, got a hold of the ball, and it actually bent his hand backwards in order for him to push it out of the rim. It was an unbelievable play by Bam Adebayo and saved the night for Miami as they take a 1-0 series lead. We should also mention that the Dodgers last night won 3-1 despite another terrible performance by Kenley Jansen. He did get the save, but of course he loaded the bases first for us.
Yeah, never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. And by the way, I'm done with him.
You're done with Kenley?
I'm done with Kenley.
You want to give it to Blake Treinen and just
I want to
give
it to Blake Treinen. I'm ready. Let's go to Blake Treinen. Right, I'm officially done with Kenley.
So do you want the good news or the bad news about the Dodgers?
Well, I mean, give me the good news first.
Okay, the good news is they're playing right now and they're ahead 1-0 in the
Excellent.
Bottom of the second inning, but Adam Kolarik has put two runners on. There's two
Adam.
Outs and two on in San Diego with Jason Castro at the plate. So the Dodgers are trying to win the rubber game of this series. The Padres won the first game. The Dodgers, as you mentioned, won last night. And there's a base hit to tie the game. So we're now tied 1-1. This may score two runs. This went all the way into the corner. No, they held him at third.
No, they held him. They held him. Mookie made a good play out there. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Big Ten is now going to happen. After much debate, after much back and forth, finally they held another vote. There was pressure from Ohio State. There was I think there was a lawsuit by some players, maybe from Nebraska or something. But finally the Big Ten has caved and said, yes, there will be Big Ten football, and we will start in October.
And so you would think that the Big Ten and the Pac-10, which have all Pac-12, thank you, have all been aligned. But the Pac-12 is refusing to say anything. And now there is a dispute between Gavin Newsom, the governor, and Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, which I will explain to you coming up.
All right. That is coming up for you. We've got the scoop. Coming up for you next.
I'll make it my first scoop question.
Okay, all the stories in sports that we haven't gotten to yet, including that one. Mason in Ireland, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for being out there. This is 710 ESPN.